Pemberton chapter takes great pleasure inviting you to partake in a very interesting topic today, especially during these COVID times when most of us are confined at home. Style is it a size? Is an apt topic for discussion. In fact, after all, beauty is just an attitude. I request our chairperson, Ritisha Nivida, to welcome the gathering.
Good evening, everyone. GP members, past chairpersons, my immediate past chair, Ms. Preetika Balaji, executive committee, subcommittee members, and flow fraternity and guests. And a special warm welcome to a bold and beautiful speaker, Ms. Samira Reddy. The flow is the Women's Wing of FICCI, Federation of Indian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, with 27 chapters pan-India, and Flow Coimbatore is 30 years old with 100-plus dynamic members. Flow has been promoting entrepreneurship among women for a truly inclusive economic growth trajectory. They say the most beautiful thing a woman can wear is confidence, and who best than Samira Reddy herself to show us how to flaunt a great style without worrying about the tag size. So let's hear more from our star and how to love yourself right away, just the way you are, and that style is not a size. I once again welcome you all for this virtual interaction with the actress and speaker, Ms. Samira Reddy. Over to the secretary.
I request our vice chair, Shanti Srinivasan, to introduce our chief guest, Samira Reddy. Shanti, it's yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Lakshmi. Good afternoon to all of you. There was a lot of buzz amongst us when we heard that today's celebrity speaker is going to be Samira Reddy. And I am very happy to be doing the introductions. Samira Reddy, an actress, a mother, and now a powerful social media celebrity influencer. With over 50 films under her belt and with an experience of working with many brands, Samira is these days seen sharing her life journey on her social media pages. She is a force to reckon with in today's trying and difficult times, and her voice is extremely important and inspiring to many. Her journey with depression and body shaming and postpartum concerns have touched many lives. Her campaign, hashtag ImperfectlyPerfect, talks about so many issues in our society that have never been discussed before by any role model or people from the film industry. She has enormous amounts of courage, and her authenticity and clarity come across in all the videos we see today. She is forthright and brazen about certain truths that are plaguing the society today. Her family and their well-being is her primary concern, and we can see that in the terrific relationship she shares with her mother-in-law, who is known as Sassy Sasu. Our moderator for today is a vivacious Flow member, Srisha Mohandas. Srisha is the director of education at SSVM Institutions. Educated in Canada and an alumna of the University of BC, Vancouver, Srisha began her career as a learning advisor in a Canadian educational company. 3 years later, she relocated to India to be a part of SSVM. Growing up in a distinctive school environment, she is determined to reinvent the education landscape and provide children across the nation with better learning opportunities. Her early influence of school leadership, entrepreneurship, and quality education characterized her worldwide view for a vision to create a future for young social entrepreneurs. She has become an impactful education leader, integrating education technologies into the school curriculum. With initiatives to cultivate social responsibility for protecting the environment in young children, Srisha has been awarded the title of Swachh Bharat Ambassador in Coimbatore. She is a classical singer who has released several independent music albums in collaboration with eminent music directors and singers from the film industry. Srisha is also a national gold medalist in the 10-meter air rifle shooting. And that sums up my introductions. Now over to you, Srisha. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Shanti, for that kind introduction. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's most awaited interaction with the acclaimed actress and inspirational speaker, Ms. Samira Reddy, on body positivity. We're so glad to have you here with us, Samira.
First of all, I have to say, with everybody's introductions, I'm more impressed with you guys. And I'm really happy to be here. First of all, it's all women, so it's my favorite place to be. Mm-hmm. And I really want to have some strong conversations, because I believe that's what's needed today. We don't need to beat around the bush. We need to call it as it is.
Definitely. So, yes. So based on today's topic, positive body image isn't just believing your body looks good, but it is knowing your body is good regardless of how it looks. And today we have some of our society's most influential women, women entrepreneurs, as well as young girls who look forward to listening to you. So it's a real pleasure to be speaking with you. And let's jump right in.
Please do.
So Samira, we would love to know more about your journey, both in film industry and life, on overcoming challenges you had faced with being more body positive. For example, how would you describe your experience in making peace with trusting yourself and feeling more body positive?
So I think that everything stems from how you grew up and the people around you and the information, the affirmations that make you who you are. And it starts very young. For all the girls out there, even someone like you, who's such a confident young woman, I do believe that it all stems from those teenage years. Could be even like before that. As a teen, I was honestly really, like, I can't tell you, I must have had the worst self-esteem ever. I was very, very chubby. Believe it or not, I couldn't get a word out. I was a chronic stammerer. And I had two very successful sisters, a very successful mother. And people used to ask me if I'm adopted, because it was that. And I was, for some strange reason, I was extremely dusky, like duskier than, I don't mind it, but the whole package didn't work for society. And that's where it went wrong. So what happened is that with a negative force, I came back with the sense of wanting to prove, which everybody says, wow, you know, she proved herself. But are we looking at the outside where she's proved herself in so many different levels as society claps for you? But what exactly are you doing to the inside, to that person inside who's always going to believe she's fat, she's not successful, and she's not good enough? So I would tell you it's shocking, but I mean, I'm sure you've seen a film called Varanam Iram, right? Like that was the peak of my career. And everybody said, wow, Megha, she's so strong and confident. But I can tell you that behind that, I was still that scared teenager, constantly questioning, constantly going into moments of self-doubt. I never believed that I was acting well. I never believed that I was successful. I just didn't believe it. I would say it, but I wouldn't believe it. So the journey till now, to sum it up for you, is finally, I think that today, when I think I cracked, you know, when I just couldn't understand why there was such a dichotomy, you know, there was no connection between the person I was and the internal struggles I was constantly dealing with. When you make peace with that, that comes from really cracking up and breaking it apart and really asking yourself that why are you sitting here and trying to prove constantly as a woman that too, because women are constantly looked at almost coming out from, we have to break so many stereotypes to come out here. So breaking all that till now has been a journey to find peace in a very strange way, where today it's like I bear it all and I'm not worried at all. But definitely the seed comes from a much deeper space for everybody. And that comes from childhood.
Definitely. I think that's a great way to, you know, you've beautifully put that out. And we want to know more about, you know, your film career and how exactly you faced those issues. You know, you shared about how exactly you experienced this during your childhood and with your family. But how did you face this in the film fraternity?
So I would say that it's strange, but when I got into films, it happened completely by chance and by mistake. Because to overcome my stammering problem, my mother believed, like the therapy I was doing that time, I was in my late teens, and they said, listen, what is the thing that scares you the most? Because I just wasn't getting over the whole stammering bit. And I said, you know, public speaking. I cannot even imagine speaking to 10 people. Like, I mean, I would just die. So my mother said, you know, Meghna's a model. So I want you to just go and start auditioning. Because in the audition, you have to hold a plate with your name, Sameera Reddy, height, weight. You know, you look left or right to show your angles. And I would be sent to these things as a way to get over my stammering. Like, my mother thought it would help me. I mean, bless my mom. She's a force to reckon with. You know, she's one of those go-getters, which is like, you're not going to be a stammerer all your life. Girl, you're getting over this. And I used to go for these auditions and shake. I mean, you cannot imagine someone like me who can just speak today anywhere. I would sweat all over my palms. I was really in a bad shape. And then what happened is, from those auditions, somehow people seemed to like me, which was strange. See, I mean, I was like, you know what? And then I just started getting, you know, I got this music video, and each time I got it, I kept questioning it. Like, is this a fluke? I mean, are you really, like, really? So when I entered the industry, I was quite naive and quite like, I didn't know what I was doing, to be very honest. Unlike today, the stars are very like, you know, they've got their, you know, the route planned out. My whole career has been a series of just going with the flow. With so many moments of self-doubt. Because in the film industry, it's really maybe exaggerated into 1,000 when it comes to your body, when it comes to your height, when it comes to your skin color. So I remember doing my first film where they made me like 3 shades fairer. And I look great. I mean, it's today I'm one of the forefront runners of just fighting this whole, I mean, enjoy your lovely brown caramel skin that the white folks are going crazy about. And here we are like trying to, you know, cover it up. And I was constantly told to like literally get fairer, get thinner, get more petite, because the heroes weren't as big as me. One of the biggest issues I had, I'm not going to name the years, y'all can do the math, but was the fact that I was too tall and too big and too broad. And the stereotype of not wanting a woman that's overpowering to the hero was all these levels of things I had to fight. So you were made to feel stupid about your height and the grandeur that comes with being like this. And I would constantly make myself feel small. So the career has been funny where, like, you know, I had places where I was very confident, I was very happy, and then there are places I have absolutely fallen on my face and cried and said, I can't do this anymore. And I think that's what's really surprised me when I stepped outside the industry. And that's what I tell everyone out there. This is not about me. This is even about you. Is sometimes you need to step outside yourself to really look at why and what is bothering you and what is making you make those choices. So is it a choice to choose a partner out of fear of aging, of not having babies fast enough, of trying to keep up with the perfect image that everybody makes you grow up with, that women are supposed to adhere to? It's a constant process of those choices, and those choices cannot be made out of fear. And that's where I come to the whole summary of my career of constantly making choices where I was just completely coming out of fear. And looking back, I wish I could change things. But then it's also a learning, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I think you've overcome all these challenges with so much courage. And
it's still a work in progress.
Yes.
And it'll be for everybody, it'll be a work in progress till your last day.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with having it together. Nobody has it together.
Very true. And kudos to you for, you know, showcasing that courage and inspiring so many people also to follow that. And, you know, with how pervasive diet culture and body shaming has become, I think being body positive has become quite hard as well. And this is also further amplified by social media and other mediums and channels. So especially for younger generation, it sometimes feels as if we are not good enough as we are. In a nutshell, it is instrument versus ornament. So Samira, how important, is it really important to be caught up with the way our body looks?
So, you know, you and me and this amazing, you know, the fact that we're having these conversations, it's literally, we're just scratching the surface of this bubble that's been created and this conditioning that's been fed to us. It's been fed to our families and through advertising and now through Instagram. I remember just growing up thinking that if I wasn't, you know, Aishwarya Rai, I was not cool. And for the earliest years, I remember I used to wear colored lenses just because I felt I needed hazel eyes. Or I had the biggest collection of chest pads. And I'm honestly saying this because I need women to know that I had the worst anxiety about the fact that I just wasn't well endowed in certain areas. And the reason I bring this to body positivity is I say that there is so much work to be done. Women like me are not considered brave or bold anymore. We are trying to normalize the conversation that different body types exist, different skin colors exist. Women are different. So how can you box it up and say that she's not pretty and she's not good enough? Or she's not fitting a certain bill. Who set the bill in the first place?
Very true.
And that is maybe the reasoning why. So what happened is, I mean, I kind of took a little break from everything, you know, when I had my son Hans for personal reasons. And a lot of people said, you know, you need to get on Instagram. It's the cool thing. I had mad anxiety when I got onto Instagram. Because I saw all like my, people in the industry that I used to be friends with and go to parties with. And I was, you know, the very page three girl before I left the industry. And maybe I wasn't anymore. So where did I fit in? I couldn't find any kind of, in fact, it made me question what I was doing before and where I am now. It's an identity crisis, which a lot of mothers post having babies I've been told go through. Because you redefine and reinvent yourself at some level. But to get to the point of body positivity, I saw social media and I was like, I cannot do this. I don't know how people do it. Every day they're posting these fabulous pictures. How do you look so fabulous? I was feeling that good. I'm breastfeeding. I'm having postpartum. I'm 20 kilos heavier than my career weight. And I was like, if I'm feeling like this, I can't even imagine what a young 14 or 18-year-old girl or a mother who's given birth or even somebody who's plump is feeling. And I needed to change that conversation. Because I was like, I cannot go on with this. And this is just like one charade and I'm not going to buy into it. Yeah, so in the beginning, it was trolling to another level. But today, I'm proud to say that I have a lot of women that follow me and we have our tribe and I'm very proud of that tribe.
I think you rightly mentioned that. And, you know, for those of us who are following you on Instagram would also know, you know, you've been so confident and with so much courage, you just put pictures that, you know, don't make you look don't match the ideal body standards. So I think that has probably given a lot more confidence for a lot of women, girls, to feel more confident. And in this generation and this era, especially, I think be it young girls, new mothers, like you mentioned, or women at any stage in their lives, sometimes don't feel comfortable in a social gathering or even posting pictures on Instagram or Facebook, of their real selves. And they constantly compare, like you mentioned, with the ideal bodies portrayed on media, social media. And so do you think that this is going to be a never-ending cycle of, you know, subconsciously worrying about those unrealistic body standards showcased in media?
So I'm going to say this. It's going to take too much of us to come out there and scream or with a loudspeaker to really see change, but it started. Now, I always say this to so many women who message me. My in-law is calling me this. My husband doesn't think I'm sexy enough. Oh, I'm feeling crap. What do I do? And I always say this, whether it's a family member that's not having your back and supporting you, or whether it's an outside person, or whether it's a friend who's bringing you down. It's their opinion. It's theirs. Why are you taking it? And I say this all the time. And it's not come with just me snapping my fingers and saying, I've become that strong. I'm not. Trust me, sometimes there are things said to me, even on social media, that are like, I mean, I'm just like shocked. You know, for a minute, I'm questioning myself, even today, after being so strong and confident. And people are not understanding that. And I always say, forgive them. You know, forgive them, because they don't know better. So if you have to work on yourself, because if you expect this to suddenly change, and this confidence of body positivity to suddenly change, and for our Indian tradition of generations to say, agar, you know, if the girl is dark, oh, who cares, we love her. You know, we're asking for the moon, because it's years of conditioning. So you can only change it yourself. And you need to literally work on it. I always say that confidence, body positivity, finding your goal, finding who you, you know, redefining or coming into these different phases as a woman, whether it's a teenage girl trying to find herself, or post-college, or finding that man, or being insecure that you're still single while all your friends in your 30s are having babies and husbands. It's a real fear. And I always say that only you can work on yourself. Because every day, I can guarantee you, I have outside forces that still make me question, like, what the hell I'm doing. And you can't help it. So every day I say, it's an exercise that I do to literally overcome it, almost like, it's not like, I also have good and bad days. So you can't snap your fingers and say, I'm going to feel confident overnight, and I'm not going to take all those comments I'm getting, and I'm going to be cool about it. You have to literally work on yourself, and it's hard work. Loving yourself is hard work. Not looking outside at a man or something, you know, else, like a Louis Vuitton bag, to make you feel better superficially, is going to help you love yourself. Only you can love yourself. You can love your body. You know, my mom, the hereditary thing of all the, you know, the women is that we have a lot of back flap. And for me, like, the minute I put on weight, I get tons of it. Now, it used to bother me for years. And, you know, Hun sometimes makes fun of it. And now I just laugh about it. I'm like, it's there. I'll have to be super skinny to not have it. But what I'm trying to say is that we all have our struggles, but only you can change it. Only you.
So well put out. I cannot agree more on that. You know, when, as we're in these lines, when we're talking about society and how they perceive us and the body, like sometimes we also, you know, hear it from the family members, like you mentioned. So they can also be judgmental because of how we look or dress. And in turn, we become very self-conscious, and it can truly affect the way we perceive ourselves and also cause difficulty in concentrating on our regular stuff, routines. So essentially, loving yourself is easier said than done. And so how do we deal with this more positively, you know, when it is so challenging how society, including family members, view or perceive our body?
So negativity is a big force in everybody's life. It's very easy for me to say, hey, stay strong, you know, be positive. Sometimes I feel like it's a social media thing where everybody's like all about, hey, positivity, positive vibes only. Now it's very easy to say it. It is so difficult to implement because we are constantly, as I said, questioning ourselves. And that's the, you know, if you look at it in a way where you have this one life and you're a constant work in progress and you are special. I mean, you are unique. This is not even me trying to give you that gyan. It's really about the fact that I have taken every flaw of mine and celebrated it. I've had white hair since I was 19. And I remember being, you know, doing a song with I think Chiranjeevi, where I remember like a little bit of hair was white and I was mortified, like mortified. And I ran inside and told my hairdresser, why didn't you cover it? Because I had the most amazing, like these cover-up powders and these sprays. And I was so upset. And I said, you know, he could have seen it. Just imagine. I would be so like, I would have been so embarrassed. I mean, the levels I have gone to, I have worn padded bras in gyms just because I was scared that somebody would say that, oh my God, Samia, where is fat chest? You know, you go through different levels of just torturing yourself. And I'm telling you, I have tortured myself from fat dieting to eating one idli a day to literally having black coffee to listening to everybody. I have done it all. And at the end of the day, I've only struggled with hormones and everything that women go through when they bash their bodies up. Women are more hormonal than men. And I always say this, that we need to be more careful with ourselves. So you cannot emotionally bash yourself up. You cannot flog yourself for whatever other people are telling you, because we are more gentle than we have. I mean, at least with me, I think that I've reacted all my life in different ways. You know, I remember being at my worst point of postpartum and then getting hit with alopecia areata, where big bunches of my hair were falling off and I had bald patches. And my doctor said, this is an autoimmune disease and it gets triggered sometimes, you know, by maybe something deep-rooted. And it really made me question how we just torment ourselves for the outside world. They're not going to come and hold your hand when you break into pieces. They're not going to come. So they'll give you these acclaims. Oh, you've lost so much weight. You're looking so skinny, you girl. That is not a compliment. A compliment shouldn't be about that. A compliment shouldn't be, you know, the other side where I'm also shaming you. That conversation and asking for that change is hard because it's not going to happen overnight. And I'm sad to say that within families, it's really harsh when I hear that women get it from their husbands or their in-laws or, you know, whoever it is. That is only one level of, like, I feel helpless when I hear it, but only you can save yourself. Only you can protect yourself.
I think rightly said, Samira, and we can all relate to it. It's definitely not worth it to, you know, hamper our growth or potential, just considering what society or people outside are going to look at in ourselves. I think we should definitely more, love ourselves more. And although it's harder, I think we have to take that step.
Yeah. You know how powerful you are? I say this to everyone. I'm like, you have no idea. And the pandemic has only shown us how we can, I didn't know multitasking had another level of multitasking, you know. And when my kids got COVID and I got COVID last month, again, I cannot even tell you what superhuman strength you have to deal and to take care of, you know, a situation. I mean, I'm telling you that I truly believe that people have only tapped 10% of their true inner strength because of the constant conditioning that you're, you know, not keeping up with XYZ, with how much they have, with how much money they have, or which college you went to. It's like a never ending. And I feel that sometimes, you know, I'm just like, wow. I mean, it just doesn't stop. You know, if you make this much money or you get married and you have children, there's always a constant, but do you have your body back? But how are you going to get back in your career? But then what's the next step? Which school is your kid going to go to? Oh, really? Not IB? It's constant. So you have the power and you have the strength and you have to believe. And it's hard work. Don't expect us to have this conversation and you go out saying, I feel good. You feel good? Every day work on yourself. Write on a paper the things you love about yourself and the things you hate about yourself and the choices you have made and you hate them and you look back in regret, you forgive, you heal, and you actually focus on what you have and you love that. You love it to a point where it supports you. It doesn't bring you down.
Wow, thank you for that. I think we'll definitely follow that. And, you know, body positivity focuses on looking good and sometimes it overlooks promoting healthy activities as well. So However, health cannot be determined simply by body size. With that said, Samira, do you think, being mindful of our eating habits and staying lean, or even the desire to lose weight, has anything to do with feeling body positive?
So I had actually a lot of people write in when I started Fitness Fridays, mm-hmm. saying you're promoting losing weight. Promoting losing weight. I'm trying to say that I'm 92 kgs because I think that it's unhealthy. And though I'm being able to do everything, I know that at 42, I'm not being able to be at my optimum because I have all this weight on me. I'm a tall girl. You can't see it, but I have it. That being said, I say that feeling good and asking for feeling good and not being connected to body positivity is asking for the moon. Because it's too hard to do. I mean, you'd be pretty superhuman to do that. Like, oh, I'm so big, but I feel good. Yes, you can be like that. But it's also our hormones as women and how we feel. So I'm not saying you've got to be skinny or thin, but I'm trying to say that taking care of yourself and having that movement wherein you the feel-good hormones kick in and your dopamine levels go high, they help you and they support you feeling good. So when I started Fitness Fridays, I was trying to say that the pandemic brought me down. Last year, 2020, was supposed to be my year of postpartum return, you know. and my plans just fell to the ground because I was panic eating and emotional stuffing my face at, 12 in the night with Netflix. And it didn't work. So lifestyle is very important. And for a woman to really take care of her body, and really, because as I said, we have all these reproductive things and, PCOD and blah, 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 and the list goes on and on. Taking care of yourself is so important. And I don't know why we neglect ourselves. So when I tell a mom postpartum to like take care of her body, I'm not trying to say get thin or go back to pre-pregnancy weight. I hate that word. I'm trying to say just be healthy and feel good by at least trying to have some sort of a routine and a discipline for yourself. Because most women get lost. They are just all about their husbands and their family and their work. And, you tend to ignore yourself. So that's where I would say it's a lovely balance if you look at it that way. If you don't look at it, I need to be thin. I need to get out there. And women say, oh my God, you're back to your pre-pregnancy weight. Don't go down that way. Just enjoy the process.
So there is a difference between staying fit or healthy and conforming to a body shape?
I would say more than a body shape. I mean, even right now, I've only maybe lost a couple of kgs, but I feel much better. Only because I feel more agile and I feel that, things are fitting me because I was depressed because I was not being able to even wear. Like I was going to Marks and Spencer and then I would buy a size 12 and then a 14. And then I remember I went in January and I was like, oh my God, I'm fitting to a size 16, like help, So it's really about disciplining and being accountable to yourself for putting that time to just be honest, But that being said, if you don't mind it, you don't mind it. Everybody, it's individualistic.
Very true. Very true. And I also agree that, having at least a bit of physical movement and activity definitely, rejuvenates your spirit and body and you feel good nevertheless. So I think we've also seen your Fitness Fridays and how you're also following a healthy routine. So we'd like to hear some tips on how we can do that as well.
So a lot of people have different takes on intermittent fasting. And for me, of all the diets that have come my way, I don't know why it worked for me. And I think it worked because as a mom, I mean, I cannot even explain. Moms will say this to you. By 10 in the night, you're like, you just cannot move. You're exhausted. And my favorite thing to do was get the kids to sleep. And then me and Akshay would get on, to the television. Our couples would sit there and just like vegetate. And then I'd be like, you want a bag of chips? Well, let's have some mango and ice cream. And that would begin because, the food makes you feel good. And that's where the big culprit was with me. Also stress eating. And intermittent fasting changed that. I'd start eating by about 11:30, 12 in the morning. And by 7 o'clock, boom, I would just stop eating. And the energy levels that I got were beyond like amazing. And now because I'm post-COVID, I have to just, you know, get back. Sorry, I have to like slowly get back. But it's definitely worked. If you guys can try it, I think it's worked for me. Yoga is my saving grace. It is incredible what yoga has done for me. It has balanced my hormones. Why do I keep going on about hormones? Because I do believe that if women even say that it doesn't play a part in our lives, I think it really does. And, you know, running like a mile and then feeling like you're, you know, fit, at some level, yoga kind of brings that all together and gives you a balance and gives you like a core. So that's why yoga has really helped. And I'm a lot into sport. So whether it's badminton or cycling and stuff, of course, now it's been a lockdown, but I'm big into swimming and stuff. So you have to jazz it up a bit. If you stick to one workout, you're going to get bored. And then, of course, running around my children, my God, that's like another level of fitness.
That's so good. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, as part of my last question, I wanted to ask, you know, body shaming has been, has a more adverse effect on mental and physical health, like we discussed, rather more than racism or sexism. So while bringing awareness to stop body shaming is picking up speed worldwide, how would you encourage acceptance of shape diversity, and how can we also address self-body shaming?
So the first thing I think that really needs to happen is everybody needs to be mindful of the conversation we have around people about how people look and feel. It's something that we do just, I think that it just naturally happens when you meet somebody and say, oh my God, you lost so much weight, you look so good. It's just a general way of speaking. But that's your first step to realizing that you're part of this vicious cycle of putting into somebody's head that you're equating having, you know, body positivity, in the sense you're equating being thin with feeling good. So I think that overall, just saying it out loud is not going to work. I think that changing a conversation, you know, for example, with acceptance with my children, and making them feel more making them inclusive of, you know, different kids, of people. I remember Hans once asked me, Mama, he's so, you know, big and fat. And there was somebody, you know, sitting, I remember, close to us like that. I had to have a conversation with him because he's a child and he doesn't know better. And I had to really bring him, we had to make him understand as a child that this was not the conversation we indulge in because he's a child. Then that being said, if we make small changes around us and we check people around us, overall, maybe there will be a change, because body shaming is huge. And it's not even about weight anymore. It's everything, whether it's aging, white hair, it's women in their 50s and 60s just Botoxing themselves because they're not feeling good enough. It's everything. I always say, if you want to get breast implants, it's not that I'm saying it's wrong, but I'm saying do it for the right reasons. I mean, do it because you want to, not because your husband thinks, you know, you should. So body shaming is definitely a culprit. The conversation can change with, say, this kind of a chat. Social media can make a massive change, but I don't understand why it doesn't and why this conversation is not bigger than it is. And I believe it can be. It just needs to be initiated at a bigger level. And that can only come when brands change it. Branding and the capacity of a campaign is endless. I mean, because if you're putting an ad out there, you cannot be telling women to be that being very thin. That's why I said, when I look at fashion houses, I'm like, why are you using only skinny women? Why? I mean, I don't feel good looking at it. You're making me feel stupid looking at it. So branding and big corporate houses, if they understand that if we can incorporate it, then overall, holistically, there can be some sort of a change. You can work on yourself, but how can you withstand this craziness of everything coming at you in every way. So they need to get more mindful. We need to start talking about it. And most importantly, you need to not give a damn what anybody says about you. That's it.
Wow, that was so empowering. And also, I think, calling someone fat or calling someone skinny, those terms or those comments should definitely have an adverse effect as well. So how do you think people can eliminate that and be more aware of that?
You can't eliminate it. You just need to change the conversation and you need to check people when they say it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. And it's, again, not about fat or thin. It's dark. It's fair, it's light eyes, it's straight hair, it's everything. There are people with curly hair that, you know, sometimes feel that they have to straighten it all the time because it's just not straight and pretty. My God, curly hair is beautiful. So again, I'm saying shaming doesn't have to just do with body. It is over the counter with so many things. Even with people having success, no success, or having money or less money or more money, who defined it to begin with?
I just have one last question for you, Samira, because we have it from our Mumbai chapter chair, Lavina, who's posted, and it's quite interesting. So I definitely want you to give us some advice on that, tips on that. So she's asking, dark is not a dirty word. What is the contribution from industry that you would expect so that we can move to a more inclusive ecosystem for women? And by industry, she means fashion, lifestyle, skincare, etc.
That's exactly what I said, that I have a lot of brands that I've done in the last 1 year. And one of their bestsellers is whitening cream and de-tanning pack. So now, instead of whitening, which is politically incorrect, we're changing it. And the biggest brands have a de-tanning pack. It's something that you... And I again say this, only we can change in the conversation. We can change the conversation with our children. And overall, corporates need to start including it. Fashion houses need to just embrace it. When I did my movie Musafir, one of the things that came like slamming out, and I clearly remember at that time, was the fact that... previously, I was trying to whiten my skin. And in Musafir, I remember saying, bronze me up, because that is beautiful. So if you have more actresses not trying to whiten your skin and try to come out there and really celebrate, because, you know, as actresses, do you also know that body color is changed to match the fairness on my face? We used to actually put liquid foundation on my legs and my hands so that the color matched. This is only possible if people are more forgiving and people come out there and try to start being who they are. But again, you're asking for the moon. As somebody like me who refuses to do whitening and detanning and all that, it's in my thing. Like when I speak to brands, I'm like, don't even come to me with it. But now I'm one of many. Now, if we all did it together, maybe it will create some movement.
Thanks a lot for answering that. I think, as you said, using foundation all over the body is like setting the bar really high for the young women out there. But thanks a lot. I really hope we have a lot of actresses like you who come out there just and be as you are, just be you. Thank you.
I just hope that all the women listening, and whatever age groups you are, you could be, you know, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever it is. You know, my mother-in-law, Sassy Sasu, the reason I just love the fact that she's so empowering, because she loves her shiny lipstick and she celebrates that big hair, you know, flower in her hair, and she walks around with her boots and her tattoos. And why are we only celebrating the young and the, you know, without wrinkles? You need to celebrate everything, whether it's cellulite, whether it's your wrinkles, whether it's aging. Why are we trying to say that you're successful and beautiful and happening only at that age? You have to set the standards for the women coming, the youngsters coming up and saying, it's not that bad here. Don't get scared of it. You know, it's cool. It's actually like more fun because you know what you want.
True. Well, that was beautiful, Samira. Thank you so much for such an enlightening session. And we've learned so much, actually, in just this short span of time. And we really appreciate having your take on body positivity and also learning more about how we can love ourselves for who we actually are. And that is something that's really important. And with that said, we really owe you a special vote of thanks as part of Vicky Flo's Coimbatore chapter. And so here we go.
Thank you, Samira. I'd now request Sangeeta Chetan to give a vote of thanks.
Hello, and a very good evening to everybody present here, and especially Samira, who's been so generous and so open about all her sharing. A very, very big thank you to you from Vicky Flo Coimbatore and the committee. And of course, the event wouldn't be possible without the generous sponsorship of SSVM institutions and the skillful moderation done by Srisha. We are eternally grateful to SSVM as well as Srisha. The event has been brought to you by the Learning Vertical from Vicky Flo Coimbatore, chaired by Shivani Dalmia. A great big thank you to Shivani. And everybody present over here, because without participation, without an audience, no event can be successful. And thank you, Samira. It's been a wonderful evening. I've been, you know, listening to you in rapt attention. And I agree with you that, you know, the older you get, the better I feel. At least I feel liberated because I really don't have to conform to anything. So I'm glad you made that point. I'm really glad you made that.
Like good wine. And, you know, woman who sits and questions herself in her teens will understand you grow up to be exactly what you want. Do you enjoy it?
Exactly. So, yes. And I agree with you on the intermittent fasting. Because I've tried it myself and it's worked. And I would really urge everybody out there to at least give it a shot. And, you know, I absolutely endorse what you are saying. And this is a virtual world. We are living in pandemic times. We'd love to give you a memento. But we are in a challenge position. We are honoring you with a bountiful tree at Trees for Water at Bhilwara, Rajasthan. Please accept it with all our gratitude. Gosh.
Exactly what was the call of the hour. And I'm honored. Thank you.
Thank you, Samira. Thank you. It's been a wonderful interaction. And I'm sure everybody present has learned something and has large takeaways from it. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.